When the foundations crumble, what can the righteous do? That was the theme of this year's ARPA Fall Tour.
It comes out of Psalm 11, and there's been many Christians who actually misinterpret that. They think that it means that Christians should be asking that very question, throwing up our hands and fleeing to the mountains. But in fact, David is saying that that's what a doubter has asked him. And his answer is, well, the Lord is the one in whom I take refuge. He watches over all of this, and the Lord loves righteous deeds. And so our response as Christians is not to throw up our hands in exasperation, but rather to engage, to do righteous deeds.
And some would say the foundations are indeed crumbling. News stories this week include the defeat of Bill C-225, the one you know as Cassie and Molly's Law, second reading of Bill C-16 to entrench so-called transgender rights into Canada's Human Rights Code, and a move in Ontario to eliminate all references to father and mother from provincial government documents.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The issue of protection for unborn children from violent criminal acts came to a head in Parliament last week. On Monday, the House held the final day of debate on Bill C-225, Cassie and Molly's Law. This was a private member's bill sponsored by Saskatchewan MP Kathy Wagenthal, which would have added an offence to the criminal code when an unborn child was killed during the commission of an assault against a pregnant woman. The debate was on second reading. Lethbridge Conservative MP Rachel Harder.
Cassie and Molly's Law, the law that is before us today, is a direct response to pleas for justice. There is a significant gap in the criminal code which fails to protect pregnant women and their preborn children. Mr. Speaker, this bill was put forward as a result of one man's very tragic and very sad story. This man is Jeff Durham. Nearly 2 years ago, he suffered the heartbreaking loss of his partner, Cassie, and their daughter, Molly. On December 11th, 2014, when Cassie was 7 months pregnant, a man broke into her apartment and committed the unimaginable. Police have stated that the crime scene was one of the most disturbing ones that they have ever seen. Cassie was brutally murdered by a man who was well aware that she was pregnant and only weeks away from giving birth to her baby Molly.
Another speaker in favor of the bill, BC Conservative Mark Warowa.
Mr. Speaker, the government has said that they are opposed to all forms of gender violence, all. And this is their opportunity to vote to allow it to go to committee. And that's what the vote will be happening shortly on the second reading. Traditionally, a private member's bill is a free vote. And I would hope that the Prime Minister would allow justice.
But it was not to be. The vote was held on Wednesday night, and second reading was defeated by a tally of 209 to 76. All the Liberal members voted against it. Bill's sponsor, Kathy Wagenthal, speaking in the rotunda of the Parliament buildings shortly after the vote.
With 70% of Canadians across Canada indicating they want this bill, and even higher with 75% of women, I have hope for the future with this, and you know it's not done with because this is a law that should be in place.
We'll have much more on this story on the feature interview later in the program with We Need a Law's Mike Schutin. There was also another vote in Parliament this week, another vote on second reading. This one, 248 to 40, saw the approval of second reading of Bill C-16. MPs voted to send that one to committee. This bill adds the words gender expression and gender identity to the list of grounds under which the Canadian Human Rights Act will prohibit discrimination. ARPA's Law and Policy Director, Andre Schutin, says the bill is redundant and dangerous.
Transgender people already are protected by the Criminal Code and the Human Rights Act. But what C-16 does, as many of our provinces have already done, is it creates in law the idea that there is not only male or female, but there's actually these third or multiple other forms of gender expression or gender identity beyond male and female. Now, it's tricky because if I come out against Bill C-16, well, then the other side says I'm hating and I want to discriminate against trans people and so on. That's not the case. It's not the case at all. But I think by reaffirming or celebrating gender identities, multiple gender identities, etc., what we're doing is actually way more harm than good. It's not loving transgender people. That's embracing what is scientifically and psychologically confirmed as a form of a delusion, and that never helps.
ARPA will try to make its case on this bill before the Commons Justice Committee, probably later this year. And then there's a motherhood issue. I use that term deliberately because motherhood and fatherhood have been a hot topic of debate in the Ontario legislature this month. The Liberal government at Queen's Park has been hammering through Bill 28. This is a law that would remove all references to mothers and fathers from all Ontario government documents, things like birth certificates. Mother would become birth parent, father simply parent. This bill has been rushed through very quickly. It was introduced on September 29th. Second reading was just 4 days later. Committee study was done last week, and the bill would like to go to third and final reading before the end of this month. In other words, the government there has managed to completely redefine a fundamental building block of society in less than a month. So how are Christians to respond to these kind of developments? When the foundations crumble, what can the righteous do? That text, taken from Psalm 11, was actually the theme of the ARPA fall tour this year. Andre Schouten was part of that tour, and he says the question posed in the theme should be considered in its proper context.
David is saying that that's what a doubter has asked him. So a doubter has asked that hypothetical question to David. And his answer is, well, the Lord is the one in whom I take refuge. He watches over all of this. And the Lord loves righteous deeds, and so our response as Christians is not to flee to the mountains, not to throw up our hands in exasperation, but rather to advance good public policy.
And Schouten says that's exactly the kind of thing ARPA has been doing, most specifically in four different areas.
On pornography, we need to start studying the effects on pornography, particularly on children and on teenage brains. If we can study that by endorsing Motion 47 from Arnold Viersen, we're moving one step in the right direction. What are we doing on palliative care? Can we pass a bill like C-277 from Marilyn Gladue that advances palliative care as a positive alternative to assisted suicide? What are we doing on preborn human rights? You're going to talk to Mike, I think, later on the program about that. And then what are we doing on transgenderism? What is a compassionate Christian response to the approach being foisted onto families and churches and communities across this country by provincial and federal governments now through C-16? What's the alternative? The alternative is not to hate on transgender people. The alternative is to offer that truthful, compassionate response that says, we will walk with you, but we're going to point you to the truth. We're going to point you to healing.
Back with more after this.
Ontario Bill 28, the so-called All Families Are Equal Act, removes all references to mother, father, and natural parents from all of Ontario's laws. It allows any one, two, three, or four adults to agree to be parents to a child not yet conceived. The child may be conceived in a lab, born by a surrogate, and turned over after birth to be shared by four so-called parents, none of whom need to be a biological parent of the child. If Bill 28 sounds like an arrangement better fit for car sharing than child sharing, speak up. Call and email your Ontario MPP today to urge them to oppose this bill.
And we're back on the program. As you heard a few minutes ago, Bill C-225, Saskatchewan MP Kathy Wagenthal's private member's bill that would have added additional criminal code penalties for the offense of injuring a preborn child while committing an assault on a pregnant woman, fell off the order paper in Parliament last week. A motion to give the bill second reading and pass it to the Justice Committee for further discussion failed. ARPA's pro-life arm, We Need a Law, had been working alongside Wagenthal in the introduction of that bill. I connected with We Need a Law's director, Mike Schouten, last Wednesday night, just a few hours after the vote was finalized. I reached him in ARPA's Ottawa office. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Al.
Okay, so a disappointing night. Cassie Amali's law did not make it beyond second reading and into committee. What happened? What drove that vote?
Well, I think fear, ultimately, Al, fear drove the vote. The vote ended up being 209 opposed to 76 in favor. The governing party, the Liberal Party of Canada, voted as a bloc. We have to assume that the vote was whipped. This would have simply sent it to the Justice Committee, where the conversation could continue and where people like Jeff Durham and Nancy Cake could be heard by the committee. Experts could be brought in to see if the fear-mongering that was taking place, that this bill was unconstitutional, that it would impede a woman's right to choose, etc., if this really was the case. But nevertheless, there is not a feeling of this is the end of the road, but certainly that this is a bump in the road. It's a disappointment. I spent some time with Kathy Wagenthal, Jeff Durham, and Nancy Cake this evening, and they are, of course, disappointed, but they are also seeing this as a launching pad for the continuation or the next chapter, the next page of their efforts, and hopefully all the Canadians who support this, the efforts of them as well.
What could that next chapter look like? I mean, given the fact that we've taken this to Parliament and essentially Parliament has now said, we don't want to talk about this anymore. I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, when it pertains to Cassie and Molly's story, to the Molly Matters effort that initiated in Windsor, Ontario, there is still somebody there, Matthew Brush, who's been accused and charged with this crime. That case will be likely going to trial in the spring of 2017, but it will play out in the next election. It was very interesting. I was in the House of Commons for the vote with Jeff Durham and Nancy Cake and a few members of their family. We got passes into the government gallery, so we were looking directly at the Liberal government as the vote was held. And there was an incredible level of discomfort as they stood one by one to vote no. They were grappling with this, but clearly they capitulated, not only to fear, but to the demands of the party brass, in the sense that this was perceivably a whipped vote in the House of Commons. And it will be something that plays out not only in the Windsor area when those three NDP MPs stand for re-election again, but also when it comes to Conservative MPs who didn't vote or who abstained from the vote or who voted against.
How did those three NDP members from Windsor, I mean, they were the ones that were most directly involved, how did they end up voting? Did they all oppose it?
They all voted in opposition to the bill, as did Michael Chung, Conservative Member of Parliament, who's running for the leadership of the Conservative Party. The Conservative Party has as part of its party policy that they support almost this exact law.
We Need a Law has been following this thing fairly closely right from the beginning. Organizationally, structurally, what have we learned from this particular battle that we can take as we move forward?
I think what lessons we've learned is that if we want to see, you know, success in a bill like this passing, we need to bring in more partners to the conversation. We were successful in getting the Native Women's Association of Canada to endorse Bill C-225, but we need more groups from across the political spectrum, people who might not have the same ideology when it comes to many other things that deal with social and public policy in Canada. But when it comes to issues like this, we see eye to eye, and we have to pursue those partnerships a little bit more intensely. But we also hope that this will encourage Canadians who supported this effort to realize that there's a lot more to political engagement than this. We need people to become more involved in the political party process so that we can not only have a loud voice in our country, but we also have the people in the positions of power who are going to vote in favor of laws, sensible laws like this.
Did this whole discussion crack the Overton window open a little further? And to those folks who don't know what we're talking about, the Overton window is the notion that if you talk about something enough, it becomes respectable for politicians to at least recognize and acknowledge that a particular issue exists. Did this discussion open that window a little further?
I certainly think it did, Al. There were thousands and thousands of Canadians who engaged in the political process who have not done so before. Pro-life Canadians in particular are more and more understanding that if we are ever to gain successes politically, we have to understand that an incremental approach is how we need to do this. And this was one such opportunity. I mean, this bill would not have affected the status quo on abortion, and yet they came up and supported it. And parliamentarians were forced to grapple with something that they don't grapple with very often, that is protections for preborn children, albeit in a limited capacity. And again, I just want to reference the atmosphere in the House of Commons this evening. You know, when you watch it on TV, you just hear the speaker announcing riding by riding by riding. When you're in the House, there's just an incredible amount of chatter and joking and laughing as everybody's voting. When this bill came up for a vote, Jeff Durham and Nancy Cake stood up, when Kathy Wagenthal stood up, and everybody looked at them from the Liberal side, and there was dead silence. And you could tell how they were, essentially a lot of them were voting against their conscience. They knew that there was something wrong with what they were doing here. So I think the Overton window is shifting, especially because this bill was so narrow in its focus, and it really brought both sides together. And it said, if you want to be pro-choice in Canada, you certainly need to support both choices. And obviously from the pro-life side of things, any bill that will, even in a limited capacity, protect preborn children is a positive bill and ought to be supported. So I have great hope for the future. This is something that, as an organization, ARPA Canada and their We Need a Law campaign, we can build from when it comes to other private members' bills and motions, and hopefully, and God willing, working with a government one day who recognizes that Canada is way out of line with international standards when it comes to protecting children in the womb. And it's about time that we started bringing in protections for human beings who ought to be protected by law.
Mike, we're out of time. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Al.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpaccanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.